Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go with Joe and
to my fellow degenerate baseball fans, Yankee fans, Met fans, who felt the need on a Tuesday night to watch every ounce of the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. I only got three words for you.
Wait, one, two.
5 hour energy. All right? That's the only way to get through a day like today. If you stayed up until 1:20 a.m. watching the Mets stink and the Yankees wake up from their slumber. Good morning. It is the midday show, Benigno and Roberts, until 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's really going to feel like football season later on in the show because making his return in his weekly spot, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. We'll talk football with him as the show rolls on. If you went to sleep early, I'm going to do you a favor, okay? If you went to sleep at 10 or 11 or even 12 and said, I cannot do it, I'm going to pass out, I have to concentrate the next day at work, I'm going to do you a favor. For the Mets, Jason Vargas was Jason Vargas. There you go. And the Mets actually led 4-0. And then it all went down the toilet, including a 6-run seventh inning that put that game away. And Corey Oswalt still hasn't gotten an out. There's your Met recap. Now, as far as the Yankees are concerned, this was an incredibly frustrating game that finally paid off late if you're a Yankee fan. So Bob Melvin, by necessity more than by choice, has to go to the bullpen by committee day because of all the injuries the A's are facing. And the A's are equipped to deal with it because they do have a deep bullpen, and because since rosters have expanded to 40, they have a 15-man bullpen. So if they really wanted, they could use two pitchers every inning. Well, not really. Then they run out of pitchers. But they could use a pitcher an inning and still have six left over. And so I think off the top, as you sit down as a Yankee fan, you actually have to feel good about this game. You actually have to feel good of, all right, well, this is a perfect moment for this offense to break out because Liam Hendricks is starting. He's not going to last very long, and who knows who comes in after him. So even though the A bullpen is deep in the back end with Familia and Rodney and Blake Treinen and Trevino, they will figure out a way to beat up this Oakland bullpen. And if you stayed up, here's what you witnessed. You witnessed the Oakland A bullpen by committee, and mostly Dave Mengden, who came in the second inning. You witnessed them mow the Yankees down. That's what you witnessed. You witnessed the first 13 Yankees, 13 of them, all being retired. You witnessed the Yankees being given a rare, rare break because Matt Chapman, who's, you know, the greatest defensive third baseman of all time, according to every metric, he actually makes Brooks Robinson look like Miguel Andujar. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, he's the greatest defensive third baseman of all time. He makes an errant throw on a routine ground ball, and oh, here we go. The Yankees have life. And I really thought when Chapman made that error and Gary Sanchez came to the plate, fifth inning, down 1-0, this is how they're going to break out. Because there's no way this A bullpen was really going to be able to sustain getting 27 outs and not eventually getting beat up. And here are the Oakland A's, led by the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball, Matt Chapman, making an error. And Gary Sanchez, who really needs to start waking up, even though he did get a hit late in this game, bounces into a double play. And then they get another break. In the sixth inning, Neil Walker hits a ground ball to the right side of the infield. And because of the shift, it's actually the shortstop Marcus Semien, who's not the greatest defensive shortstop of all time. And he makes an error. And you know how the Yankees responded? Double play. And then to make matters worse, and this is the way this game felt for the first six innings, Gleyber Torres, with a nice piece of hitting behind one and two, picks up a base hit, and then promptly by Ryan Buchter, who came in out of relief, picks him off. So the Yankees were continuing this trend of just kind of baseball. Not taking advantage of mistakes by the Oakland Athletics, and then making just a bad base running decision, which Gleyber Torres did. And the good thing for the Yankees on the other end is that Jay Happ was so in control that he kept him in the game. Besides the mistake he made to Stephen Piscotty, where he got a changeup that hung right in the middle of the plate and hit the ball over the fence in center field, Jay Happ was in full control. He was in such full control that when Aaron Boone came out after he gave up a leadoff hit to the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball, Matt Chapman, I was actually kind of floored he took him out. Happ had only thrown 78 pitches. And I waited because I wanted to see what Boone's answer was after the game. And the truth is it all worked out because David Robertson came in. He put one more guy on base but struck out three, got through the seventh inning. Zach Britton was fully in control, and Dellin Betances was fully in control. So it turned out to be a good move, or at least it turned out to be a move that worked. But when you've got J. Happ throwing the baseball as well as he was throwing it, okay, fine, he gives up a leadoff hit to Matt Chapman. He's at 78 pitches. Jed Lowry's coming up. Really? You're taking him out? And Boone's explanation, more than anything about Happ, was, I got my bullpen rested, I got him ready to go, I'm in the seventh inning, let me go to my big arms. And that is very Girardi-like, because I think we saw that a lot from Joe Girardi over the last couple of years. But last night, it was surprising. And I think it opened up Boone to a lot of criticism, because Zach Britton and even David Robertson at times, really all of these guys, have had their bad moments. This is still a bullpen I like. It's still a bullpen I trust, even with Aroldis Chapman out. But they've had their bad moments, and with nobody out in the seventh inning and really not a necessity of going to this pen, Aaron Boone decided to do it. Whether it was third time around the order, whether it was really something he saw from Jay Happ that was that concerning, because there really wasn't much there. I mean, Jay Happ allowed two base hits in this entire game. The home run to Piscotty, and the base hit he gave up to Matt Chapman to start the seventh inning. So it was one of those moves that you scratch your head about, but you're okay with because it worked out. That's the bottom line. And Robertson did get the job done, but when you've got a starting pitcher at 78 pitches and pitching as well as he was pitching, and remember, Jed Lowry before that hadn't done anything against him. Chris Davis had struck out twice against Jay Happ. So at least the early returns the first two times around the order, he was in full control. He was pitching really, really well in this game. Hit a batter. So there was a couple of extra base runners, walked one, but there really weren't a lot of base runners against him. And Boone made that decision to pull the trigger, and it worked out. And the Yankee bullpen kept it where it needed to be, and it gave the Yankees time to finally break through offensively. And they really broke through offensively because a certain pitcher that you may remember in this town absolutely, positively lost the strike zone. And that was J-Riz Familia. J-Riz Familia walked McCutchen, and that was a really good at-bat by McCutchen to load the bases with nobody out. He walked Aaron Hicks, but here's where the frustration continued if you're a Yankee fan. You come back, you tie the game, you have bases loaded, nobody out, with Miguel Andujar, Gary Sanchez, and Neil Walker coming up. And watching this, and I think at this point it's close to midnight, maybe a little after midnight, I'm feeling the breakout. And I really thought it was going to come from Gary Sanchez. Andujar strikes out, Sanchez strikes out, and then Walker pops up. And so the Yankees, even though they tie the game, and you're happy about that, yeah, it's kind of a buzzkill. You get bases loaded, nobody out, you can't score. And then it happened. And I saw on the postgame show Jack Curry and Bob Lorenz compare what this guy is doing to Shane Spencer. I don't sense Shane Spencer. I know it's a guy hitting a home run every other game, but it more feels like Aaron Small and Sean Chacon, which I'll explain. But it was Luke Voit doing it again. And if there's any question, let it be answered. Luke Voit is the starting first baseman for this baseball team, and he hit an absolute bomb of a home run against a tough customer in Fernando Rodney. An absolute bomb. And Dove, get that call ready, because I am very curious to hear if John took Ernie's advice and changed the call to, what was your idea? You say the pitcher's name and Luke is your father or something
right.
like that?
Yeah, Luke is your father.
Yeah. I don't think he did it, but I hold out hope in the drama of playing the Luke Voit home run that maybe he decided, you know what?
Yeah, you know, Susan,
Ernie Acosta came up with a wonderful idea, the pitch. But Luke Voit is the man right now. Reminds me of Jordani Valdespin. I'm the man right now. Luke Voit is the freaking man right now, because that was a take out the frustration, clutch, big moment kind of home run. Because if the Yankees lose last night, if they lose and waste a great performance by J-Hap and waste facing the Oakland A cavalcade of bullpen arms, and now it's two straight losses to Oakland, and all of a sudden now the deficit starts to creep to only three games in the loss column, 2.5 overall, now you're probably starting to get a little worried about that number one wild card spot. I'm not worried right now. I disagree with what Boomer and Gio said at the end of their show. I don't think today's a must-win game. Sure, you want to win it. Why not? But I think yesterday was the more important game. Avoiding losing two straight to Oakland, avoiding going into tonight potentially facing a sweep. And so after messing up with bases loaded, nobody out, and not getting any runs across, Luke Voit. And I don't know what this guy's going to turn into. He may not turn into anything. To quote Beningo, bro, we may have something with this guy. I don't know. This may just be a flash in the pan. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's a flash in the pan. What matters is right now, this guy's hitting home runs every other game. So let's go back. Late night. Tie game. You're frustrated. You're tired. You have a headache. And the count is 0-1 to Luke Voit.
Pitch. There goes deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Luke Voit. Cool hand Luke fills the Voit. Oh, that Voit is a joint. He homers to deep left. A no doubt about it job. And the Yankees take a 2-1 lead.
There's a few things I like about this guy. Number one, the Sosa hop. I mean, this is unbelievable. Like, is Luke Voit from Chicago or something? The heck's going on with that? I mean, he didn't do it as much on this home run, but on those opposite field home runs, which he usually hits, and they've talked about this on the broadcast, he's got the Sammy Sosa hop. Now, Luke Voit, in case you're curious, is from, you know where he's from? He's from Missouri. So, Wildwood, Missouri. So, the odds are he grew up as a Cardinal fan or a Royal fan, but I don't know. He may have been influenced by the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire home run battle. How old was he in 1998? It was 20 years ago. He was 7. I could see it. He's channeling Sammy. He's got a little Sammy Sosa in him. But this is one of those moves and one of those moments that I think makes baseball freaking awesome. Because when they make that trade before the deadline, and if you remember, it was international bonus slot money to the Yankees, along with Luke Voit, for Shreve and Gallegos. I thought of two things when they made that deal. Number one, they're clearing spots off their roster. All right, they got rid of Shreve and rid of Gallegos, who's on the 40-man. And number two, they got back international money. That's what I thought. I didn't think for a second, and maybe Brian Cashman is just that much smarter than everybody, I did not think for a second that Luke Voit was going to have any kind of big impact on this baseball team. And he is having as big of an impact as you could have imagined, because right now he's the first baseman. And sure, when you write it down on paper, ideally your first baseman is a lefty. It's Greg Bird. It's a guy with a little bit of pop from the left side. They need left-handed bats. It doesn't freaking matter. What matters is the guy is producing. What matters is every other day this guy's hitting a home run. So righty, left, it doesn't matter. It's overrated. Sure, on paper, write it down, describe it perfectly, it's Greg Bird. Well, it's not Greg Bird, because right now Greg Bird isn't very good. And right now, Luke Voit is Mark McGwire / Sammy Sosa at the pace he's hitting home runs. Is it going to last? I have no idea. He may not hit another home run for the rest of the season. And if he starts to slump, we'll reevaluate. Maybe Neil Walker gets the playing time. Maybe Greg Bird gets back to play. Who knows? Could be anything. But when you get to this point in the year, September 5th, 2018, you ride it like it's hot. And right now, it is damn hot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.